Good evening, everyone. Let the record indicate it is 5:06 p.m. and the Finance Committee of the Warwick City Council is called to order. In acceptance of the minutes, there are none. We'll move on to PCR 16019. First item is 2017-064, State of Rhode Island, copiers, printers, etc. State your name for the record, please.
Phil Carlucci, MIS Director. This is a request under City Ordinance 612 to increase the award amount on bid 2017-064 by $40,000, bringing the total for the bid to $128,000. At the same time, we would like to extend the expiration date of this award from December 31st, 2019 to July 31st, 2020. As you are aware, we've had some issues with our maintenance on copiers and printers, and my intention, after some extensive research and trying to figure out what the issues are, one of the issues happens to be the way we pay these. We distribute them across all the different cost centers, and the company that we use has some challenges in that area, and we've had some difficulties keeping track of where those printers are. My intention is to take this out to bid, but I would like to do it after the budget cycle in June. I'd like to extend this till then so that we can make some changes in the way we do our budgeting and allow for a little smoother on our part before we get into the new contract we go with.
Okay, and this contract extension is agreeable by the vendor?
It is.
Okay. I'm not going to expound on your comments. I'm just going to say that's fine with me if you want to extend it. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. 2017-136, Barracuda Backup Server.
This is a request under City Ordinance 612 to increase the award amount on bid 2017-136 by $33,350, bring the total for the bid to $117,043.09. We would also like to extend this by 1 year, bringing the new expiration date to October 31st, 2020. This is a late bid to the council or to the committee. It was not intended that we were going to actually extend the maintenance for a year on this particular device. It had been purchased as treated as a one-time purchase 3 years ago. So in discussing replacing it, we put money into the capital budget to replace it. In the discussions with the vendor, we're going through the costs, and I said, I see that I got this invoice for the fourth year, and it includes this replacement insurance. I'm not sure what that is, to which the vendor said, oh, you have the replacement insurance. I said, yes, we do. He said, well, if you spent that money for 3 years, you would lose it. If you spend it for 4 years, that insurance gets you a replacement box free of charge after 4 years. So just to clarify, I said, so if we spend the money on the maintenance and this small portion of a couple thousand dollars that's actually allocated to the replacement insurance, and we wait one more year, we would get a replacement box free of charge. And she said, absolutely. At that point in time, I thought it made a little more sense rather than spending, the box we have was approximately $75,000. We would probably be spending upward of $130,000 to $150,000 to replace it along with maintenance for 3 years. It just made a lot more sense to me to extend the maintenance and take advantage of the free box at October of next year.
And Phil, so taking into consideration the fourth year lease of $33,000, what's going to be our net savings on that box that typically could run about $150,000?
If we got a $150,000 box, after you take the maintenance out, we're probably looking about $40,000. Like I said, the existing box is $75,000. So $33,000, it's roughly $40,000. that you're saving. However, the way it works is, as you know, technology changes on a rapid pace. What we bought 3 years ago is no longer available. They've gotten bigger and faster. They don't replace it with some used piece of equipment that matches what we have. They're going to come to the closest next size up they can. So it's hard for me to estimate at this point in time, but a minimum of $75,000 replacement, if they had the exact same box sitting there, would still be about a $40,000 savings.
And this is the result of your due diligence, picking up the phone, chasing down some of these things, asking the questions, et cetera, et cetera. And I know, I'm sure I'm speaking for all of my colleagues, that's something that, you know, we really appreciate that effort. And those savings, that's significant. We're talking significant amount of monies. Had you not picked up the phone and had you not dug into that a bit, we could have wasted $99,000, been on a hook for potentially $150,000, and still have a maintenance contract. Good job.
Thank you.
Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. 2019-166, State of Rhode Island Ice Melt product found on page 26. Christy?
Good evening.
Good evening.
The department's requesting to extend the expiration on this bid to September 30th, 2020. There is no money requested. The state has a little late with their posting of the extension on their behalf, so hence the reason it's technically already expired.
Christy, down further in your position paper, you state that the previous bid expired on September 30, 2019. However, there was a lag in the posting of the new information on the state website. When was this posted? What was the date it was posted?
Well, that I'm not 100% sure of, because the way they've since revamped their entire website. On the old website, they used to put the date that it was posted. I check it regularly for the ones that we do utilize, and this one had popped up. I wrote the memo on October 1st, so it came right at the tail end of September, but it didn't allow us to get it to the first council meeting in October or even a council meeting in September, because they probably posted it somewhere in the last week of September.
Where do they post it? On the state website?
Yes.
Well, wouldn't that be on the state website now if we went on the website and looked for it?
It is on the website now. That's how I found that it had been extended. But because of the transfer, they've gone from the MPA website to something different called the contract board. If you look at it, it's completely different from what they were utilizing. So it makes the information a little bit harder to find, because they go by contract number instead of MPA number. But it's there. You just have to look for it.
But isn't there a date on the posting of
there
when
used
it was posted?
To be. There isn't on their new one. I couldn't find a date where they had posted it.
So how would we know if they posted it in a timely manner? How would we know if, you know, they weren't beyond some requirements of posting if there's no date on it when it was posted?
I just check it regularly. Yeah. I go on, you know, pretty much almost every day for the ones that are coming up, or so that's how I find them.
Seems strange that we can't get a date as to when this information was posted. All right. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, need a motion.
Move for favorable. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. 2020-157, found on page 38, rodent control.
The department's requesting to award this bid to Neogen Corporation for rodent control materials in the amount of $21,000 for a one-year period beginning December 5th, 2019.
So is this something new?
No.
We've had rodent control before?
Yes.
Okay.
It was a new bid the bid that's expiring December 4th is the new bid. This is the second time it's been bid.
And who's our contact in the city for rodent control? Who do we contact?
There's an email address, and it's in the highway department.
Who's the person?
Joe Shalvey.
Joe Shalvey?
Yes.
So he would be the go-to person if we have any of us on the council. If we have an issue with rodents in our ward, we contact Joe Shalvey?
Yes. There's an email. I think it's REEP at warwickri.com. It's
Wait a minute. REEP what?
REEP.
Yep.
At warwickri.com, I believe, is the email address.
And do you have a phone number for him?
I don't.
Okay, why don't you just send it to all the council members so that I know. Councilman Ricks obviously has had problems in his ward, and I'm sure the rest of us had some different issues. So if you could just email that to all of the members of the council, what Joe's contact information is. I don't know. I can't make heads or tails of this particular bid. So tell us, what's the difference between the large box or the box at the top and then the box below where it says additional information? What's the difference between those two bids, I guess?
Well, the box at the top is the one that we specified within the bid. And then the additional information was an alternate bid that the bidder submitted.
So your RFP that you sent out for this, the original RFP that you sent out, it was specifying just these two particular products right here?
Correct.
And Neogen did not bid on those at all?
They did not, but what they did bid on was an equivalent to, and they were the lowest bidder.
It's what they wanted to bid on, right? It's
they
what
submitted they wanted an to bid alternate on. Bid.
Yeah, I understand that. Did your RFP call for an alternate bid?
The bid language allows for them to submit for an alternate product if it's equal to.
And with the other bidders, let me back up. So this alternate bid, this material description, easy clean, rat bait, et cetera, et cetera. Where did those products come from? Who put those products out there?
The bidder. The bidder submitted it.
Neogen?
Yes.
So the other vendors had no knowledge of these other products being bid on. Is that right?
I can't speak for the other vendors. They bid, I'm assuming, what their product is. Neogen has an equivalent product too, the Protecta LP Black and the 18-pound pail of the finial block.
So this alternate bid, these products, have you ever used them before?
No, not specifically.
Have you ever requested them before?
No.
Why did you request the two items at the top?
The two items at the top are what we bid last time.
Okay.
Which this vendor, Neogen, actually bid last time. They have an alternate product they're offering to us at a lesser price, which does the same exact job.
So what's the difference between Protecta LP Black and Easy Clean Rat Bait Station? What's the difference?
They're both just the box that
they
go into. Either way, it's...
So who are you going to buy the box from?
Neogen. We would get both items from Neogen.
But they didn't bid it.
They, on their alternate bid that they submitted, we would buy it.
They didn't. They didn't bid. K-Clean, Easy K-Clean, or Easy Clean Rat Bait Station. They didn't bid it.
They bid the 00560 Cafe Bait Station.
Okay.
And then the Havoc Attack Block.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Univas Solutions bid the Easy Clean Bait Station.
Correct.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Okay. And this final blocks, 18-pound pail, what's the difference between that and the Decimax blocks? What's the difference?
It's all basically a poison, I guess.
Yeah, I understand
like an attractant.
That. I would assume for the significant difference in price that there's got to be a difference in quality. There's got to be a difference in the ingredients, what it does, what it doesn't do, what it could potentially impact on wildlife or vegetation, et cetera, I don't know. But to me, I would think that there's got to be a difference between those two items for the significant difference in price. You don't feel there was any difference?
I don't believe so.
But we're not sure?
No.
Okay. Questions from members of the committee?
I'll refer to the vice chair.
Go ahead. Councilman McAllister.
Just a quick note. On the city's website, there's actually a link that you can go to. If you have rodents or anything like that, you can actually click on that and has all the information. I have forwarded that. Not that there's any rodents in Ward 7, but I have forwarded that information along. So that information is on the city's website as well. As well as the information that we just received tonight. Thank you.
Councilman Howell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chrissy, if you can't answer this, I completely understand if I see the director is there. So are these the same as what we're, like, I understand if a cafe bait station, that sounds really nice. Is this like the big black box that they want the rats to go and eat, and then they leave and they drink, and then it just slowly poisons them?
Yes.
Okay. Does the city, Mr. Director, or Chrissy, if you can... Does the city have a plan? I know that it's we've been addressing this in the last year and a half, but does the city have like an aggressive plan of areas where maybe there's a lot that we can, you know, that this stuff is going to be used for? Or is it more of a defensive mechanism? Like as they're called in, we just put these feeders out there.
Matthew Salito, Department of Public Works Director for the City of Warwick. So basically the way it works is if we field the complaint, it comes into the DPW or on the REAP. The REAP site, we go out there and we respond. We track all the rodent control complaints, target different areas. A lot of times we feel that education is the best way to get rid of some of these rodents and these nuisance animals. As Councilman Ricks had stated, you know, we have bird feeders. Mm-hmm. We have people actually feeding their pets outside. That attracts. So when we put down the bait, if the homeowner's there, we try and educate as well. So... It could be in your house, my house, anyone's house, so it's always random.
Right.
But we do respond to the calls and track where we're going. We had a big influence of rats or rodent control that needed to be done in the Governor Francis project, as you can remember, last summer. So we pretty much attacked that and quelled what was going on.
And I thank you, Mr. Director, because I know that you were personally with your department. We had a situation, Mr. Chairman, where there was a neighbor dispute where the people had bird feeders right on the area that bordered the neighbor that had children, and you could see them as in every night he was clearing a different, he was buying his own, but also the city had their traps there. And actually when the director and I went over to go discuss it, we found a few other things that were attracting, and you came up with, Director, a solution of moving the bird feeders that made the neighbors happy. And so you're absolutely right, that part is a huge part. In the final part, which you kind of segued right into it, do you feel that with I'm going to try to ask this just neutrally but do you feel that a big issue of the rat issue that we were coming across is because of the kind of like compare it to the turkeys, if you would. The construction, the expansion, I know the expansion of airport, I find quite a bit going on, or the trees, or the disruption of the trees. Do you feel that maybe within the sewers, maybe within that is adding to it, or?
See, my mindset, and this is just my personal opinion, is yeah. that one doesn't have anything to do with the other.
Okay.
I just feel that maybe people were more cognizant in the Governor Francis area when we were doing construction, but I'll be honest with you, Mayor Solomon instituted the REAP program. We've been getting calls throughout the course of time. Mm-hmm. Now we're a little bit more due diligent in documenting everything. Mm-hmm. So I don't think one has to do with the
okay.
other. That's just my opinion. And by the way, no rat expert, to be honest with you. So,
but obviously
do,
neither am I.
I do realize that, you know, any of us can walk up on a piece of property and say, hey, 6 bird feet is there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You're feeding biscuits to the squirrels. What do you think you're going to attract? You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Popcorn.
Yeah, popcorn. Yeah, yeah. That might be a problem.
I thank you, and you're absolutely right. I remember when back when Mayor Solomon took over, we added that to the budget and put that program back into place, and I think it's been very effective. So, all right. I thank you for answering the questions. Thank you, Chrissy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Matt, if you could. So, I'd like a second opinion on the question regarding the quality of the the alternate bid versus what you guys had requested in the first place. I'm assuming that when you put this request out, that at least at the time, it was your opinion or DPW's opinion that this was the most effective material out there, which is why I'm sure you requested it. So what is your opinion with one versus the other?
My opinion is the lower bid has to meet an approved, the same or as approved equal standard. So the ingredients are probably the same. At the bait station or the cafe station, maybe one has a 3-story on it, maybe one's a condo, but they're all going to go into those boxes. And I feel that we're probably getting a better bang for our buck because people realize that we have a program that we instituted. And, you know, we will know pretty shortly if they're not working. And if the calls increase where we have to rebate all the time and it's not effective, then we'll address it then. But most of the time when we get these the same or approved equal, the approved equal is just less profit on their part.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Personally, again, not a big rat guy, but
right.
I would go with it.
If you could, next day or two, or Christy, forward me a copy of the RFP for this particular bid.
Okay.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Seconded.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. 2020-158, floor mats, found on page 42.
Departments, excuse me, departments requesting to award the bid for floor mats, wet and dry mop rentals in the amount of $12,000 to UniFirst Corporation for a one-year period beginning January 1st, 2020.
Christy, what did you spend, excuse me, on this item last year?
I'm sorry.
What did you spend on this item last year?
$9,627.89.
And I noticed, at least I didn't find it in mine, had you also included the old bid, the previous bid, in our package? Or is that something purchasing does?
This is a brand new bid.
This is a brand new bid.
Well, it's an ongoing bid. It's just a new.
Right.
So, no, the old one wouldn't be in your package.
Why?
It's not a 612 or a... There's no history to this. This is brand new. It starts January 1st.
But there was a contract before, right? You spent $9,627.
Correct.
So you had a contract before, right?
Right. It expires December 31st.
Okay. Typically, you don't include that? Okay. The old annex building, are we still putting mats in that building?
I don't believe so, unless they're on the end where building maintenance goes in and out. And that's where they deliver the mops and pick up and deliver the dry mops and wet mops. So,
other than that, we're not?
I'm sorry?
Other than that, we're not putting mats in the annex building?
No.
Are we providing any mats in the Draper building?
No.
Okay. Are we providing any mats in the Cooper building?
No.
Do these mats that we're talking about, do these mats meet OSHA regulations?
I would imagine they're, I mean, this company we've been dealing with for several years. They're a reputable company. I can't imagine that they would give us mats that weren't OSHA regulated.
Are you aware of a requirement?
No.
That these mats have to be OSHA approved?
No.
Well, I'd like to know if these mats that these companies here are bidding, or particularly in this case, UniFirst, if their mats meet the OSHA January 17th, 2017 regulations. Because there is regulations that speak to this. And I just want to make sure that they do meet it and we're not looking for any headaches. And had you called any of the other vendors?
Yes.
To find out why they didn't bid?
Yes. Actually, I actually happen to also have the brochure for this particular vendor right here. So I'm sure that they're... Yes, we did call the other vendors. Let's see. I have one vendor that said she was, I guess they have a bid person that does their bid. She was surprised he didn't reply.
Who is that?
That was Clean Rentals. Got the same response from New England Industrial Uniform.
And that, I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said on the response. What was the response?
The woman, Ann, that she said she was surprised that Mark didn't reply.
Okay.
We got the same response from New England Uniform. He didn't see it. The gentleman, Matt, didn't see it. Crown Uniform, general voicemail. Coin was closed. Falvey Linen was a voicemail. Legacy Supply, never received, but emails correct. Cintas, didn't receive. We have a new email for them. And... Aramark didn't know what, didn't even know what they were, we were referring to, so.
So, I would say it's safe to assume they didn't receive anything either.
I couldn't speak to that. Just going by what was said.
Okay.
They didn't seem to know what was going on.
Christy, don't you think that it's odd that four of these vendors told you that they never received anything? Right email, never received anything, because I, too, make all these calls a lot more than I care to have to make, and I'm hearing the same thing, that either it's the wrong email or, it's the right email, but, you know, I never got anything, et cetera, et cetera. So don't you think it's odd that four of the potential vendors are telling you that they didn't receive anything to bid?
I can't speak to why, you know, we have a couple that said, yes, the email is correct. I'm not sure why someone didn't reply. That's not, you know, it's, we can't make them respond to our bid. If someone overlooked it, which I have on another bid, I spoke to someone and he said, nope, I dropped the ball. I overlooked it. That's not something that we can do anything about. So I think that, you know, we did our homework and we did the best that we could. And if people aren't responding and saying, yes, we got the email, or yes, that's correct, and not responding to it, then...
Yeah, I could see it, you know, one vendor out of, you know, five or six. But when you have four vendors out of five or six or seven that say, we didn't get anything, I mean, I would question that. I mean, I would want to know, well, why aren't they getting these bids? Because that's what I'm hearing. We're going to have other discussions on this further on in this meeting as to why they're not getting the bids. I mean, I just find it strange that, you know, we don't have a better answer for that. And I'm not saying just on you, Christy. I'm saying on all departments. I'm saying on purchasing, that we don't have a better answer for it than, well, we sent it out and they didn't get it. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I can't force them to bid. I don't know. It just seems odd to me. The bigger question here is whether or not these mats meet OSHA requirements. And you don't know. I don't know if the director, Director Salitro, would you know if they meet the OSHA requirements?
Up until about 2 seconds ago, I wouldn't have an answer to your question, but I'm on their website and it says meets or exceeds OSHA standards.
Okay. And email me that website or that
information
right there?
Sure.
Okay. And it meets or exceeds the January 17th, 2017 OSHA regs, because they changed on January 17th, 2017.
That I don't know. To be honest with you, I just started looking into it to see if I could find something at a quick glance into whether or not they, you know, stated they met OSHA regulations. So I can look into it and then see.
How old is that posting?
Fairly new. So I can look into it more if you want to hold it. And we can find out.
This isn't due until January, so we got plenty of time on this. I just want to make sure that we are covered with this, because in the OSHA regs, one of the big issues is slips, trips, that sort of thing. And I don't want to see us in an issue with a mat that, you know, we think meets those new OSHA regs. Hopefully they do, but I think it's worth waiting a couple of weeks to make sure that they do.
Okay.
Another question I have before I open it up is, so which one of these pricing options are you looking to go for? We have price per week, we have biweekly, and we have monthly pricing.
Well, it's entirely dependent, you know, during the winter, obviously, we have to have them changed once a week just because of traffic.
So fluctuate?
And, you know, yes. You know, during the summer, we don't have them changed out as frequently because it's not necessary. But the weekly pricing is primarily for wintertime.
Okay. When did you call these vendors?
I'm sorry?
When did you call these vendors?
Thursday.
Last Thursday?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? I'm going to ask for a motion to hold this until the November 4th meeting.
Motion to hold November 4th.
Seconded.
PCR 16219. Thank you. So we have a motion to hold PCR 16219, formerly 2020-151, until November 4th, and the reason is for OSHA certification from the vendor. All right, we have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Item 2020-159, purchase various tires, found on page 45. And I'm going to request both Christy and the mayor to come to the podium. Let's just deal with these right now. Found on page item 45, page 45 is 2020-159, and found on page 52 is 2020-159B. Go ahead, Christy.
Sorry. The Public Works is requesting to award this bid for the purchase of various new tires to Sullivan Tire Company for a one-year period beginning January 1st, 2020, in the amount of $100,000.
And, excuse me, Major, and tell us your reasoning for it, please.
The reason for $100,000?
No, the reason for Sullivan Tire.
Sullivan Tire was the only bidder that submitted a bid.
They were the only bid that submitted?
Yes.
Okay. And that's a $100,000 bid, right?
Yes.
Okay. When did you receive this bid? Purchasing? Patricia, do you know? When was the bid opening?
I have that as part of my list, and I don't have the list with me tonight. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I forgot I brought the bid with me. The bid opened on October 2nd at 11 a.m.
October 7th at 11 a.m.
October 2nd.
2nd. October 2nd at 11 a.m. So, just so everyone's clear, that was 19 days ago when this bid was opened, okay? And we only got one bidder for a $100,000 contract. Christy, did you call any of the other vendors to ask them why? You called all of them?
Yes.
Okay. And when did you call them?
This morning.
This morning?
Yes.
And what did they say?
Goodyear said they did not receive the bid. They can install passenger tires. They cannot install sanitation or highway ones. They can only sell the tires, and they do not have road service.
Who's Goodyear? I don't see Goodyear on my list.
Goodyear is the first vendor.
CB Truck Tire Services?
No, the first vendor on the list. Goodyear. Oh, I don't know how you don't have, you guys, so I have Goodyear, so I have one more vendor than you do.
Excuse me, if anyone wants to speak, just be recognized. So, on my list, the first vendor I have is CB Truck Tire Services. This is where it says specifications were sent to the following vendors. We're talking about the same thing?
Yes.
Okay. Councilwoman Travis, what were you going to say? On the mic, please.
Item 38, it's saying Goodyear, so I mean they were on the list?
No, it says Goodyear is the brand of tire. It's not the vendor.
Oh, okay, I see.
So I know, and that's what Christy said was Goodyear. I'm confused because I don't see any Goodyear on my vendor list. So, all right, so you talked to all of the vendors, and you talked to them this morning.
Yes.
And one said they never got the bid. What did the others say?
The CB Truck Tires, the gentleman that I spoke to said he wasn't sure if the owner received it. He gave me an email address for next year. Ocean State Tire said they got the bid. It was an oversight on their part that they didn't submit it. Pete's Tire Barn said that the email was correct. He's not sure why the gentleman that handles that didn't submit a bid. Number 5, Rhode Island Tire, the business is closed. And number 6 does not do the heavy, like our heavy trucks.
Okay. I called the vendors too, as I'm sure you surmised. I got the similar replies. I also got the reply that, why bother? Never get the bid. And what is concerning to me and why I'm not going to be able to support this is the fact that the bids were opened on the 2nd. And in your position paper, whoever put this position paper up, it said that we reviewed the only bid submitted. This is a $100,000 bid. This is huge. And it's just concerning to me that we don't pick up the phone the next day and find out why do we only have one bid. Why in the history of tires in this city is it always only one bid or the same vendor? And we wait until the morning of the Finance Committee meeting to call them and ask why they didn't bid. Had this call been made on October 2nd or October 3rd, the department could have reached out to me or someone on the Finance Committee and said, hey, listen, you know what? We only got one bid. Here's what we found out. 3 or 4 of them said they never got the bid. Someone didn't know why it wasn't bid. The other one just didn't bother. One's out of business. I think we should go back out for bid. But we didn't do that. And that is very concerning to me on a $100,000 bid. And we make these phone calls literally in the 11th hour. So I'll open it up to my colleagues' opinions, but I will not be supporting this bid. To me, it makes absolutely no sense to just sit back and say, we're going to accept this one bid because it's the only person that bid. Any comments, questions from anyone on the Finance Committee? Councilman Howe.
I think you touched on it, Mr. Chairman. So when the bid opens, what's the price? So if a bid opens on October 2nd, when's the last bid that can come in?
Before the bid opening, I would imagine.
Yeah, it has
to. Okay. So, like, I guess I would support what the chairman said. If it October 2nd, you review it and you have one bid or even maybe even before then, I would assume, too, if you see that you're getting one bid, that would be the point to reach out. I would agree with you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
So, Councilman, for your benefit to reply to the question and anyone else who's listening, so a bid typically, in this case, the bid was due October 2nd, and it may be due at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, whatever. Up until the final 2nd, before that time frame is there, someone could walk in with a bid, and it happens often. Vendors come in at the last minute and drop off a bid. For whatever reason, they bring in the bid at the last minute. And there are also, never mind those reasons why they drop off a bid at the last minute. But so they don't know until the last minute, if there's only one bid or, you know, in the last minute, they might have 2 or 3 vendors show up for a bid. So they don't know that then. But at that bid opening, they do know that there's only one bid. And with tires, there's a history. There's a history that I've had with tires for the last 7 years. So to me, that would kind of ring the bell to say, hey, listen, something's wrong. You know, let's get on the phone and let's find out what's going on. And then if you need to go back out for a bid, go back out for a bid. And in this case, it's a $100,000 bid. I would think that it would make sense that when the bid goes out, and I'm not saying all bids, I'm saying this bid, because of it being such an issue for so many years, that someone would be picking up the phone to these vendors and say, hey, listen, CB Truck, Ocean State, Peach, Joe, Sally, whoever this is, I just want to let you know the bids went out. I want to make sure you got it. Right? That would make sense to me on a bid like this. And that's what I think needs to be done. Any other questions from members of the committee, members of the council, members of the public? I'm going to make a motion that this it'd be PCR 163-19, and that this bid will be unfavorable action and sent out for a rebid. And once the bids have been sent out, there'll be a follow-up call from someone from the city, whether it be purchasing or DPW, to the vendors that were sent the bids to make sure that they got them. I do have another question, though. So I'm just curious, because it just happens to be a large tire supplier here in the city of Warwick. Why isn't Town Fair Tire on this bid list? Any reason? Do we know? I think they're a pretty large supplier here in the city of Warwick.
Prior to the bid going out, what we do is we send the last time's vendor list to the department and ask them to check it for accuracy and updates, and if any other additional vendors want to be added. We also, prior to presenting it to you, we were notified through several of the websites of different vendors that requested information on it. So we now know, after the bid was sent out by us, of different vendors that were added. So sometimes you're going to see additional vendor on here that the department didn't even realize it didn't. We added it to the list. We used to keep read receipts, but read receipts is an option. So in other words, if we email you the bid, you can say, I want to send a read receipt, yes or no. So the fact that we don't have one doesn't mean anything. It could mean that the person got it and said no. So we stopped printing to save trees read receipts. We do print out the email based on the vendor list of who we sent that to. So if a phone call was made and a vendor said that they didn't receive it, whoever makes that phone call, if they talk to us in purchasing, we will confirm and see, check that email to see if we made a mistake or, you know, it's true, it's false, and we'd update our information based on that information.
Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do when this goes back out for rebid is please be certain that any supplier of tires in the city of Warwick gets a request to bid. To me, that would make sense.
And we asked the department to do that. We asked them to add those vendors to the list, okay. And we would gladly send it out.
Well, we know there's one for sure that's not on this list that I see here in front of me. Okay, so we have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry, that's not true. I made the motion. I need the second.
Seconded.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Christy. Major? The questioning is going to be pretty similar. So, did you reach out to the vendors?
I did. So Jennings and Ocean State both stated to me that they didn't receive the bid, and I confirmed with them the email address that was listed on the purchasing email that I had received. I was CC'd on the same email. So the emails did match up. They did receive them for whatever reason. Maybe it got lost in the shuffle, but those two vendors did receive it. State Tire, if you look on the list under email, it says State T-U-R-E, which is a typo. I assumed it was supposed to be State Tire. I emailed that gentleman. He did respond that he had won the bid several years ago, but because he wasn't a Warwick company, he wasn't awarded the bid and said, why bother? I'm not doing it anymore. And I expressed to him that things have changed and please give us a shot next time it comes around.
So, Major, when did you contact these vendors?
Thursday and Friday.
Thursday. And you also only received one bid?
Correct, one bid.
Okay. The tires with the police department have been an issue as well, because we've had conversations for the last 7 years anyways about the police rated pursuit tires. And at one time I was told that only Goodyear made such a tire. And then after doing a considerable amount of research on my own several years ago, we found out that certainly is not the case. Firestone also makes a police rated pursuit tire, and I believe there are a couple of others. And in some cases, the tire manufacturer are the ones that rate their own tires. It's not even an independent testing laboratory. So they come up with whatever suits their fancy for what we're going to now rate a police rated pursuit tire. It's not like it sends out to, you know, the tire lab down in Science Court somewheres, and we come up with this, you know, fair and equitable specs on what a police rate pursuit tire is. And those tires, with the Goodyear tires, are, at least the last time I looked at numbers, some of those tires were considerably higher. And I understand and get the necessity for these certain qualifications and requirements for the safety of our officers, et cetera, members of the public that may be in any type of a situation where the police is having to deal with them. But I have the same concern. Your bid is a $24,000 bid, I believe it is. So between the two departments, we're talking $124,000 worth of tires. It's a big number. And I have the same feeling with yours, Major, is that this is something that should go back out for a rebid, and it's something that should have the same protocol as we just had with the last vendor. We're purchasing, well, bless you, we're purchasing is going to follow up with those vendors to make sure that they receive the bid. And I just think that it's happening way too often that we're hearing, at least from the calls I make, which are quite a few, that I never got the bid, it's a wrong number, whatever. And I'm not saying that it's our responsibility to babysit vendors. No, it's not our responsibility. But when we hear these same things over and over, that they haven't received it, or we have the wrong information, et cetera, some cases that person hasn't worked here in 2.5 years, that's a concern. So with the number as large as it is, yeah, I think we need to give a little bit more attention to this particular thing. So any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I'm going to move for unfavorable action. The same requirements as 163-19, go back out for rebid with a follow-up to the prospective bidders to be sure that they in fact receive the bid. That is a motion. I needed a second.
Seconded.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Major. I'm sorry, PCR 164-19. Has received favorable action for an unfavorable motion. How do you want to word it? What's the difference between this one and the last one we just did? What's that? It's unfavorable action. Right. /2020-168, various replacement auto parts. And that is found on page 59. Major?
In September, the police department went out to bid for various parts for motor vehicles. The bid request included parts for fleet vehicles for the police department and those serviced by our agency for other city departments. 8 vendors bid, and of those, 6 were qualified based on the bid specs and the needs of the police department. Based on a review of these qualified bids, the police department is recommending the bid be awarded to Action Auto as the lowest overall bidder for the bulk of the items. Lawson Products, Tifco Industries, and East Coast Terminals are recommended for specialty products that Action and each other don't duly supply. For reference, last year between those three companies, we spent $283, $821, and $609, respectively. While reviewing the bid responses, Action, Advance, and O'Reilly had submitted complete pricing catalogs in which to compare all prices. RAPS filled out page 2 of the pricing sheet, but did not include list or net prices on page 1, and did not include any additional attachments for pricing. IEH did not complete either pricing sheet and did not include any attachments. As such, an in-depth review was completed between Action, Advance, and O'Reilly. I went into our garage supply room, wrote down random part numbers. Attached in your materials is a light bulb for a Taurus, part number 9005, a spark plug for a Taurus, part number AP104, and an ignition coil, part number FD503. Of those three items, Action was the lowest on each of those. In addition, I continued looking up random parts on the online pricing catalogs that we were given. I looked at an alternator, a starter, a shock absorber for a 2009 Crown Vic, a 2012 Taurus, a 2014 Taurus, and a 2014 Explorer for a total of 12 additional parts. You don't have those materials in your packet, but of those 12 additional parts, Action was also the lowest. So for 15 total random parts, I had found Action to be the lowest between an Action and Advance. And that's why I'm recommending the bid be awarded to Action.
So just for clarification, what we had discussed, particularly with DPW, was a minimum of 20 parts that the department most commonly uses, 20 to 25 parts. That was an agreement with DPW, also with the chief of staff. You have here in our binders, so Advanced Auto Parts, all we have in our binder that we can look at and wrap our arms around is just a discount. There's no list prices here.
Right, which means nothing. Which doesn't mean anything because you can't compare the percentage off without going to that full pricing catalog.
Or if someone were to fill in the blanks with these list prices.
Right. The problem that I've heard from vendors is that, for example, an alternator, Action Auto Parts has a fair model within that. We don't know exactly what they're bidding on and whether they're bidding on an 09 Taurus or 2014 Taurus. So that's why they're hesitant to fill out all those different categories. They want to just submit us a thumb drive or a pricing catalog.
And we've gone through that as well. So what we're looking for is for the department to come up with the 20 parts, and here's the alternator, here's the starter, here's the brake parts, here's the spark plugs, here's the fuel pumps, etc. So we have something of substance that shows us that Advanced is a better deal at 8% or 65% or whatever, and that's what we don't have. We have it on some of these other parts from Advanced and others.
Yeah, six of them did it on page 2, but none of them filled out page 1. Which is why I had to go look for the pricing catalogs.
But yet someone submits a bid for 5 million washers, and it's all individually priced. So there are some people out there willing to do what we ask them to do. 5 million is an exaggeration, but I'll bet you there's 500 or more nuts and bolts and washers and screws in here that vendor, for a small amount of business, put in a lot of time and effort to do what we ask them to do.
Yeah. I believe
others essentially didn't. Do any of the vendors ever suggest that their prices Their list prices are confidential?
No.
No. I ask that because on Action Auto Parts, I see on their pricing sheet here, it says pricing sheet may not be confidential with not underlined. What does that mean?
On all bids, we have that statement now. We've had
Okay, that's people, us putting it on there. Okay. Thank you. I'd like to hear from my colleagues. I want to hear, you know, how you feel on this. Councilman McAllister.
So, Major, but you did go through and you pulled out to see and compare the individual parts. You said you listed, and that's Action Auto Parts was the lowest overall bidder for the bulk of the items. So you went through and compared
so
yourself.
So what you have in your materials was a comparison between Action, Advance, and O'Reilly. And O'Reilly wasn't in the mix. The other two really were. So the further review that I did was between Action and Advance. And that's what I have here with me.
But you went, yeah, so you drilled and drilled down and went through to make sure. And overall, the lowest bidder was Action Auto Parts from all that
yes.
went through, correct? And you said that you pulled about the 15 most commonly used parts
yes.
that we order from on that. So the information is there. I mean, you went through the information that we were looking for. You went and got it.
Right.
You
unfortunately,
dug through to, get
the vendors didn't all list it on that first pricing sheet, so I had to go find it when they referenced on their bid, please see this website, here's your username, here's your password. That's how I was able to go in and compare.
To do it, yeah. So you did the extra legwork when the vendor didn't provide it.
Correct.
Because so you were looking for the information that you knew that we were going to be asking
Correct.
For, and you did provide it, and that's how you made your recommendation to us.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you, Major.
So, Major, you said that you had contacted two of the four vendors that you're recommending for price comparisons?
Right. I compared between Advance and Action. That's who I whittled it down to at the end. But the three other vendors are those specialty components. Ultimately, Action was the one that was the lowest on the bulk of the items that I looked at.
Okay. Councilman Howe, any questions?
No, I think she explained it. Thank you.
So, Major, on those items, those 15 items that you had contacted the two and got the comparative bids, do you have that?
I do. I can show you right now if you'd like.
Please. To the solicitor. So we can view those, right? Yes. She had made the calls to two of the vendors for price comparisons, and she has those down. Yes. Okay. Yes, please, Major. Thank you.